In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening. Today we celebrate a great feast, but before we get to that, the intentions for today's Mass are for the repose of the soul of our sister Mary Marcus, as well as for the repose of the soul of Trini Campos. For the repose of their souls, we pray. And finally, after this Mass, I will go and give an anointing to a woman of our parish who is very ill at this time. So please pray for her, not merely for her bodily health, but also for the health of the soul. More on that in just a moment. So today we celebrate this great feast day. You probably have never heard of the saints which we celebrate today. I asked today after adoration if anybody knew what saints it was today, and not even the brightest among those who come to adoration were able to enumerate these great saints. From the very early time of the church, St. Nereus, St. Achilles, St. Domitilla, as well as St. Pancras. The first three of those, Nereus, Achilles, and Domitilla, those were ones in the very first century AD. So that'd be during the time, the life of the apostles, the very ones who walked with Christ, who saw all these beautiful things that we proclaim through the Acts of the Apostles, even so through the Gospels, which our Lord walked upon the earth, seeing the very same words pass from the mouth of our Lord in the Gospel, healing the man from a distance, healing his boy, the very hour that he spoke those words. St. Nereus and Achilles were there in the very first century as those who were following Christ to the best of their ability. St. Domitilla, who was she? She was one who was actually baptized by St. Peter himself, the first pope. Can you imagine that, being baptized by those very same hands, having those words spoken over you, those exorcisms, that beautiful rite of baptism, by the very voice, the jawbone, that said, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's coming to the world, the one who was told, you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and you actually being one of the rocks which God built his church out of by those very same hands. How incredible is that? Wouldn't you in some way be a third-class relic just by being held by saints like that? Third-class relic of an apostle, the Apostle St. Peter. Amazing. St. Domitilla was indeed that, baptized by St. Peter, and even more than that, she was actually the niece to the emperors, and yet Nereus and Achilles, these were all members, part of the royal household there, and yet there in the center of Rome, being a part of the royal household didn't afford them the kind of protection, though being Christian, you would think would be. They still suffered the same fate. They're martyrs. Domitilla, a virgin martyr. They were first exiled for their refusal to offer incense, and then finally beheaded. We've gone over this before, but what were they really meaning when you had to offer incense? Most Roman citizens, especially the elite, didn't believe that these gods were real gods. They just knew there was a superstition about it, and if there was anything supernatural, all the better. Offering to the gods was kind of like the way in which you and I might send money out to our insurance company saying, just in case something happens, here, let this goodness happen. Let me receive that benefit of having that faith, which is why the Roman citizens hated these things called new gods, because they said, no, you people have your own gods. Pray to your gods, because we want the protection that your gods afford. We just want order within the world, and we as Romans want to be the ones establishing that order. Pay your incense to your gods, and don't start new religions. So they offered incense to gods for what? For the health of society. So the society would be helpful, so that people would not be struck down with plague, so that people would not have these diseases going through their communities or whatever things that could possibly go wrong. The Romans just didn't want these societal ills to come. So offer incense. Just do it. Pay your insurance, as I said. More on that in a second. That's how St. Nereus and Achilles and St. Domitilla met there and being beheaded finally after being exiled. They stayed true to the faith. Also, St. Pancras, he was from a few centuries later, but he was a young man. In fact, he was as young as those who were preparing to receive their confirmation next year. Those in our confirmation class, 14 years old, 15 years old, that's all he was, just a young man. And so because of that, yes, he was also part of the royal household that was there, and because of his high status society, they pressured him to apostatize. Just give up your faith, they said to St. Pancras. Just let go of these things. And if you do so because of it, those who were in charge said, look, we'll give you riches. Just do it. It'll be a good example for everybody else. We don't want to start a rebellion. You're not doing it will cause others to want to not do it as well. Just do it. And if you do so, we'll make you successful. We'll put you in charge of all sorts of things. We'll make sure that your life is set up well. Just do it. There's no reason not to. It's just paying insurance for the health of our society, the bodily health of our society. And yet he met his end the same way, gave his life to martyrdom. So anytime when we look at the martyrs of the church, anytime we examine their lives, what are we impressed by? We're impressed by what? Their constancy of faith. The constancy of faith of the martyrs. We said, we believe that he indeed is God, that Jesus Christ is indeed the risen one, that he has given his life for us, and all we have to do is lay hold of that life. It doesn't matter what happens to our physical body. Do anything it is that you want. I am going to hold true to this man, Jesus, who is actually God, come down to save the world. All we have to do is cling to his resurrection, and we ourselves are resurrected. All we have to do is live according to his precepts, and we will have life that knows no end, that no pathogen or attack can ever take from us in truth. In the introit of a Mass, remember the beginning prayer. Remember when I'm there, we're saying that psalm that begins it. It's usually taken from the Psalms or inspired by the Psalms of King David. It comes from what? Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, it says what in that? It said, the Lord has heard my cry. He has saved my soul from death. Isn't that interesting? It says, the Lord has heard my cry. He listens to me. He's paying attention. He has saved my soul from death. Notice what the prayer does not say. It does not say that the Lord saved my cuerpo. He didn't say it saved my body from death. No, the martyrs attested that they gave up their bodies that they might have eternal life with their souls protected by God and heaven, secured in heaven. No matter what they did to the body, which would later on follow where the soul had gone. That's the way we believe, right? When our souls cling to God, we know that the Lord will take our souls to be with him, and the body will trail there shortly afterwards. In the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will raise us up to glory. We proclaim that every time we say the creed, don't we? That's what we believe. That's what we hold to be true. He will save our soul from death, not our bodies from death. God's care is for the soul of each person. Care for the soul which is going to attain to eternal life. Yes, does God care about our bodily health? Absolutely, but only to the degree that it aids the health of our souls first. Because as much as our body wants to cling to life, if our souls do not cling to he who is truly life itself, then we won't end he who is true God. The body goes where the soul goes first, not the other way around. That's why we as Catholics and as Christians have always prefaced the soul's health above the bodily health. And the martyrs testify to that so greatly. Which is why even our blessed Lord, there from his holy cross right there, by which we have salvation, by which he's redeemed the world, does what for us? There he spoke that beautiful psalm, Psalm 21, which says, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Such was the pain and distress that our Lord was going through on the cross that he remembered, recalled that song of the forsakenness of God not being with him. God was always with him. But how does that song end? It doesn't stay with the forsakenness. It says what? It says no. It ends in triumph. It says, he saved me. The Lord did save me. He will raise me up and I will praise him among his people. Being in his presence truly forever, to know his love in its fullness, to see him face to face, to be known, as St. Paul says, as surely as I am known. This time of epidemic, this time of pandemic, it's got me thinking on something. There's one thing that's really, really concerned me. I've spoken about it many times, but in this way, slightly different way. Everyone, when we hear, when we turn on the news, we see Dr. Fauci, the president, all these other the great doctors, epidemiologists, they're talking about things. Everybody has this immense concern for the health of the body. But how much are we hearing about the concern for the health of our souls? From anywhere? Are we hearing that anywhere on the news or in any broadcast? Sadly, are we hearing that within our churches? Are we hearing that from our leaders? Or are they talking all about the bodies? All about bodies. What is health? Who gets to define what real health is? Maybe they say, well, health is having a disease-free body. Well, guess what? Newsflash. Nobody has a disease-free body. All of our bodies are wasting away from the very moment when we exit that womb, maybe even before. The body is entering into greater entropy and decay. We all have disease and pathogens all day long. Our body is fighting off pathogens that get into our bodies every single moment. All of us have cancers within us. It's only when cancer takes over and overpowers our body's natural defenses, that's when we say that somebody has cancer. But all of us always have cancers within our bodies. Who's to say what real health is? Doctors are so concerned with bodily health. But is anybody concerned with our mental health? What about our emotional health? What about our psychological health? What about our communal health? The health of our communities, what do I mean by that? Are we beginning in this time of pandemic, when we see another person who's present, we see somebody coming close to us, do we step back, develop a view that says, I need to avoid others because that other person who's approaching me in some way is a potential disease bearer? They're unclean, potentially. I need to stay away from them. So they're an enemy to my bodily health, a danger to me, and so I have to keep them at arm's length, or even just beyond, 6 feet away. Are we doing that? That's the thing that really gets me concerned, is our societal health, our communal health. Maybe the social distancing is a good thing. Yeah, to keep away, to make sure that our bodies are taken care of, that is a good thing. Wearing masks, maybe that is a good thing when you're in public. Not the silly thing, wearing it while you're driving. If you're in the car, why wear it? I don't know. I don't know much about bodily health. Be healthy. But don't practice emotional distancing. Don't practice that emotional distancing where we stay away, we keep each other so far away that we care not for the emotional needs of those who are around us. Don't accept it. Don't accept it for yourself. Don't let people keep you emotionally distanced from them. We are a community of persons. That's what God has called us to be. God said in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, he looked at man, Adam, all alone within the garden, and he said, it is not good that man be alone, separated, at a distance. And so God conceived in his own divine mind the beauty that he would make into being woman. She was taken from man so they could image who God is as a communion persons. That's what God has made us for. Remember to be leery about the government, as Catholics always have been. We always have been. Remember our saints today. St. Neri, St. Kille, St. Domitilla, St. Pancras. When the government asks us to offer incense to the health gods, what are we going to do? What are we going to cling to? Remember what our faith teaches us. Our Catholic faith says our faith is more important than our government is. That our souls are more important than our bodies are. When it comes to the time for our test, ultimately, on our last day, are we going to be the ones who are strong enough to resist coercion, whether it be from government or whether it be from anybody else within the world? Are we going to be strong enough to resist that? We will be. Indeed, we will be if we nourish our souls today by that daily prayer means of the secret of Christ, by clinging to the rosary. Our Lady of Fatima's feast is tomorrow. We're going to celebrate that with great joy. Are we maintaining it by scripture reading, by coming to adoration whenever it is that we can, by making sure that we're up on our feet, reading our catechism, being built up in spirit, by letting our Lord shower us down with his love each and every day? Those are the things that are going to make us strong enough to resist against the coercion that would seek to put the health of the body over the health of the soul. Because only one of these things will live forever and take the other where it's supposed to go. The body, it will end. soul will go one of two places. It'll either go to heaven to be with God forever, or be eternally separated from Him by the choice of preferencing the body over the soul. Indeed, whatever the choice is, the body will follow afterwards. Let's pray that we be strong, just like St. Nereus, just like St. Achilles, just like St. Domitilla, just like the young St. Pancras, to say, you can give me anything in the world. I'm not going to give that bad example of prefacing my body over the good and health of my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.